so say your name for me, first and last.
Joe Ordonez.
And you are a business owner, but how do you describe yourself?
Well, I do own Rainbow Glacier Adventures here in Haines. I've been a resident since 1987, and I'm a photographer, I'm a naturalist, international guide, I'm a family man. I wear a lot of different hats, mm-hmm. So depending on whatever the circumstance is, I put on a different hat, but I love Haines and love the Chilkat Valley, and so just doing what it takes to, you know, survive here.
Yep. So give me some background on this particular project. First of all, what month did it come out? How long has it been in the works? What was the catalyst for this book?
Okay, well, it came out in November of 2015, mm-hmm. and that was my goal, was to have it out before Eagle Fest 2015, and got brought it up here like on November 2nd or November right at the end of October, so I made the deadline there, and it's been... In some ways, it's been really in the making since I arrived in Haines back in 87. I mean, some of the photographs in the book go back to the late 80s. I started guiding in the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve in 87 and researching it as part of my job as a river guide manager at Chilkat Guides Rafting Company. I was a training director for years in the Eagle Preserve raft trip, so a lot of the research started back then. But actually, like, really getting serious about the project as a book started over 4 years ago. I had some photography interns who helped me sort of organize the photographs, scan some of the old slides, digitize them, start putting them in order. I started writing it. But really, the thing that really helped me to get the book out on a deadline, on a schedule, was I actually hired a project manager a year ago. There would be December of last year. And I told her that I wanted to get the book out by November 2015, and she said, if you do, then these are the steps. That's what she does. It's her business, is producing books and helping people produce books. And she does lots of large volume books for big companies, but occasionally takes on private people like myself. I went and met her down in Bainbridge Island. We talked, and she said, okay, here's your production schedule. You know, I got to have all the photographs turned in. You know, 150 photographs turned in by such and such a date, and all the text turned in by such and such a date, and here's a choice of a couple designers, you know, professional designers for the book, and you can pick which one you want, and then you need the first rough draft copy, and, you know, everything was laid out month by month, and we got to print in China, so the color proofs had to come all the way from China up to Haines, you know, for the photographs to make sure, because everything was on the screen up to that point.
Right.
And so, you know, the book looks a certain way on the screen, looks different in print, but out of the over 100 photographs, there's only three or four that required, you know, a little bit of touching up. So, yeah, and then there was the whole customs, and, you know, I had to get to pick them up myself down in Kent, Washington, all these trucks and freight trucks, and I bought a little bus for the business, so I had to load the, turned out to be a bigger project than I thought, 122 45-pound boxes that I had to load on myself. You know, they used to just like a forklift and just kind of put them on the big truck, but I had a little school bus, so I had to load each book, so I got connected with the project that way, and then put the bus on the ferry, and they came up here right in time for Eagle Fest and for the first Friday in November. And since then, I've done, you know, a slideshow in Skagway, a couple slideshows in Haines, slideshow in Juneau, some book signings. So it's been very well received. And but there's really no feeling like when you work on a project for that long, that you hold the first, you know, actually hold the book in hand. And it's a hardcover book. It's the first hardcover photography book ever produced about the Chilkat Valley. And so just hold it in my hand and see the, you know that the work was done. On one level, the work was done. On another level, it just began because I ordered 3,000 copies. I self-published. I'm self-distributing. So then, you know, I told somebody, I said, it's like when we had our first daughter, you know, we were so focused on the pregnancy and then the birth, and that was the big focus, and it's like, hey, that's just the beginning, right? Your kid, raising your kid. And the same thing here. I had 3,000 books. So I actually hired a social media marketing expert. was kind of cool because I met her. I was rafting down the Chilkat River, and I started describing it. This book was going to come out, so like in September, and I said, this book is coming out in November, and, you know, I have no idea how I'm going to sell it or what I'm going to do. And she says, well, this is what I do. I'm a social media marketing person, and let's talk. And we hit it off on the river, and then we hit it off online, and we did some email blasts and you know, reached out to about 1,500 people that I had contact with through my business and friends and associates, and right away got good response. And then in Haynes, the response has been really, really positive. So we have started to sell some books, which is part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the books come, the information, the text comes from your experience working on the preserve for so long. Is that accurate, or did you collaborate with?
I wrote the text myself. I did all the photography myself. I edited the photographs myself. But all along the way, I had help of different people, different local people. Like, for example, the text, Dan Henry was really critical in helping me with some of the general story of the Eagle Preserve history, and particularly some of the native stories there. On photo editing, like Ron Horn, you know, spent hours with me, helped me get it, you know, exactly right. And a lot of people know something about the Eagle Preserve or some part of the story. It's you know, it's a big part of Haynes. And so I asked people questions and did some reading. But I put it together myself based on the stories that I had heard, and then the way that I approach the world as a guide, which when I guide people, I always start with the story of the land, you know, the geology, the geography, you know, what is the place physically, and then I move on to the plant life and the wildlife. In this case, the glaciers, the glaciology, kind of the whole story of how the land came together and why, you know, the area is so special, especially here, because there's this unique hydrological phenomenon where the water doesn't freeze and the salmon come in late, and then the eagles come in. So there's this kind of complex story, and I go through all that, and then you get to the sort of human side, and that, of course, brings up the Tlingits and Klukwan and that whole part of the story, which is fascinating. And then you add the story of the preserve itself, the creation of the preserve, conflicts that went in. You know, what a lot of people don't know, at one time there was a proposal to move the entire village of Klukwan, for example, and make way for a giant tailings deposit right in the Eagle Council grounds, where they were going to just dump tailings from Iron Mountain, which is right behind there, one of the largest iron deposits in the world. And, you know, that was a proposal that was being considered. And from there, you know, they protected the smaller area, which is the what we call the critical habitat area or the Eagle Council grounds, and then eventually expanded that 10 times in 1982. And a big compromise story, you know, with the logging interests and mining interests and conservation interests and local conflict kind of a 2 a.m. signing of the. It's a great story, really, how people sort of came together at the zero hour. The governor was involved. The federal government was involved. You know, Gary Hart, who ran for president, and also was a U.S. senator from Colorado. They were going to extend Glacier Bay and have the federal government right here in the Chilkat Valley and run the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve as an extension of Glacier Bay. So the federal government was involved, and it's really quite a story. And when I first came here, I was working on a small cruise ship back in the late 1986, and every week we'd go to the Sheldon Museum and watch a little movie that had been produced about the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve and the story that was behind it. And so I took that story, you know, into my heart. And then it was actually because of the Eagle Preserve that I moved here to guide rafting trips. So I made sure I told all the guides the story. And then, you know, I wanted the guides to tell the clients out on the river the story. But as years went on, I got involved in other things, wasn't quite so connected, and I realized, you know, that story wasn't really being told. It was being lost, or it was being changed, and it's a great story. So that's why I call the book The Story of the Alaska Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve, you know, Where Eagles Gather is the main title, but the story, because I want to tell the story. I don't want that story to be lost. Mm-hmm. And so I tell the story in the book and cover the whole thing and take it right up to the, you know, right up to the present day, because the story's still being written, and combine it with the photographs. So the book works just as a coffee table photography book, because the photographs are nice. People really enjoy them. And, you know, for local people, they're like, boy, I've looked at that 100 times, but never seen it quite that way. Or, you know, I've never actually been to that spot. Where is it? You know, and I tell them. So for locals, they're enjoying the photography. For, Haynes has photographers coming from all over the world in November. And I think photographers should be coming here year-round, because that's another part of the book, is just that it's not just, you know, the winter congregation, the Eagle Preserve. It's a beautiful, dynamic, fascinating area year-round. And so I try to share that in photographs, the beauty, you know, just simply the beauty. And then there's also a preservation message there, that this is something that's worthy of protection for the whole, you know, not just for the people of Haynes, but for the whole world. The Chilkat Ball Eagles is something incredibly unique. And so that's another part of the reason I wrote the book, was to let people see what we've got here. Yeah.
Is there a particular anecdote or photograph that you're especially proud of?
Well, you know, there's one photograph in the book of a magpie. And it's funny because, you know, a lot of people see magpies and don't really think or look twice at them. But when the light hits a magpie just right, there's actually an iridescence in their feathers there that will shine back on you, kind of a greenish color. And magpies are hard to photograph in flight because they move so erratically and quickly. And when I turned the photographs in to the designer, she presented back, you know, she couldn't accept every photograph that I had. And she said, okay, these are the ones I've chosen. And is there any photograph that's missing that you definitely want included in the book? And I said, you know, I want that shot of the magpie, because it's a beautiful, beautiful bird, especially if you view it from above in flight. And so I said, I really want that photograph. And a lot of people have commented, like, what a great photograph. And it's, you know, I mean, I got great photographs of eagles and that sort of stuff. But I guess if I'm going to talk about any one photograph that hits home, is that probably that photograph of the magpie. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about, you talk about present day and something like the Haynes Highway that's coming through. Do you have an opinion on that? Have you spoken out about it? Is it a concern for you as far as the preserve goes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that Haynes Highway project, they're talking about cutting, in the latest version of it, cutting 18% of the eagle perching trees. And for me, that's like, I mean, how do we know that 18% is a viable amount? And if you cut 18%, but one of them's super important for a bunch of eagles, I mean, it's just a number. It's like a statistic. I think that area from 19-mile to 22-mile Haynes Highway, basically from the slide, I mean, something has to be done with the slide. We all know that. That's a dangerous area. But right after that, right up to past Cluck One there, that area should just simply be left alone. It's already, you know, got a highway cut right through the middle of it. And, if people have to slow down a little bit, hey, it's a world-class location. And you know, why do people have to go at, you know, super high speed, with super wide shoulders and all that? I don't think it's necessary. And I did write comments. And I do feel strongly that that part of the project, that part of the highway project, should nothing should be done there. Just leave it like it is.
Talk a little bit about sharing the preserve with guests from all over the place. I mean, is there something that pops out in your mind as far as a particular reaction or an interaction that you had while you were sharing this little gift we have?
Yeah, on a lot of levels, that's the great thing about being a guide, is that, you know, you do all this research and you make sure you know the story. But in the end, a lot of times you just take people out, like on a rafting trip, and you get away from the road and you just pull the raft into a little eddy there and you stop and you just get quiet. You know, and quiet is something that is a premium. For most people, I mean, they come from big cities, and they got noise going all the time, and you just pull in somewhere and just let them. And so it's great to just let the preserve speak for itself. You know, so as a guide, it's nice to have the information, and I give it and I share it, and my guide's the same way. You know, it's really important for us that the guides know what they're talking about, and whatever sort of questions they ask, they've got something to say, whether it's about the birds or about the geology or about the history. At the same time, it's sometimes good to just sort of pull over and just be quiet and let Alaska, let the Eagle Preserve speak for itself. That's one thing. You know, in the off season or in, you know, November, I take photographers out, and that's always it's always great to, because people think, oh, there's a thousand eagles, I'm going to get a great photograph. You know, the odds are in my favor, but it's not easy. You know, eagles are tricky subjects to photograph. You know, they're high contrast, they're black and they're white, and they move, and so people want certain shots, and so there's that. That's been for me. After the river guiding, the natural history part, my development of myself as an artist and my career has been, you know, working on my photography, trying to really get the technical side of it down, and then sharing that with others. So the light can go off. You know, like not too long ago, I had this Catholic priest on tour, and I was talking about the triad with photography, which is your aperture and your shutter speed and your ISO, and he's shaking his head. He couldn't get it, you know. And I said, listen, it's the Trinity, you know, the Trinity. And I kind of did the sign of the cross, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and I said, you know, aperture, and he got it, you know. So when that light bulb goes off, I mean, that's what you're really trying to do with a guide, is put things in people's perspective and a way that they can sort of see it. So the light bulb went off. He totally got what I was talking about, and we actually stay in contact. Great, you know, of all the people I've guided through the years, certain people you just connect, and it goes on beyond just the tour. And then another person was Gary Hart himself, who, you know, ran for president, was in the U.S. Senate, was really involved with, you know, he really cared about this place, but he'd never been here, you know. And then he retired, and he came to Haines. And I had the honor, really, of guiding him and his wife in the Eagle Preserve, just walking along there, and for him to see that, hey, you know, something came out of the effort that he made, and that the preserve has been, you know, protected. And then when there's ongoing threats, he continues to be an advocate for it. I mean, he hasn't stopped. So if I say, hey, something's going on here, could you help out? He's right there. I mean, now he's like the envoy to Northern Ireland, you know, and he's a busy guy. But if I send him an email, he writes back. We've connected. He did the forward, you know, on the book there. He did the forward, which, you know, real honor there. So those sorts of things are one of the real rewards of guiding, because you're working with people. And now with the book, I'm reaching out to people beyond, you know, just the ones I can physically guide. I just got an order for a book from somebody in Switzerland, you know, just the other day. We're selling it on Amazon. And so, you know, reaching out to the whole world, and people are learning about Haines and learning about the Eagle Preserve and learning about our little town. And I think that's a great thing to be involved with right now.
Yeah. You know, the digital age coming about, and everyone has an iPhone and everyone's a photographer, and people just want to kind of see their name out there, so they're giving away their things for free. I mean, do you feel any of that, where you have these photography groups, or people are all of a sudden a photographer just because they have access to these apps and these little filters on their phones and things like that? I mean, does that compromise what you do in any way, do you ever feel, or are you just happy that people are getting out and shooting?
Well, you know, they say it's not the violin, it's the violinist, you know. Just you put a camera in somebody's hands, and, you know, you could put an expensive camera in somebody's hands and they could take 1,000 shots and not a single one of them's any good. You can put a cheap camera in someone's hands and they could take one shot and it can be great. You know, it's about communication. It's about getting your message across and connecting. And so, you know, if someone takes a photo, I don't care how they take it. If they take it and people react to it and people feel something, I mean, that's with art. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to express who you are and your feelings and get them to react. If you can get that, I don't care who took it or how they took it. You know, I one thing I'll say is that I'm not doing, you know, the Photoshop sort of, you know, placing the kayak in the whale's mouth. You know, that you can do. And some people, you know, really do that. They just do these photo montages and that sort of stuff. with my photography, they're the shots that, you know, I took them in the camera and then, you know, did the post processing, but not going too extreme like that. But, you know, it's an open world out there, and in a way it's been flooded, maybe cheapened that everyone has it, but and maybe that's part of the reason I wrote the book, because it's like a value added sort of thing. Take my photographs, but then I added the written story. I did the research, and so the combination of the photographs, the caption of the photographs, and then the written word takes it more from just me trying to sell a photograph, first of all, or secondly, just selling a photographic book. You know, the fact that I did the research for 40 pages of text to go along with it adds the value. And I think that, for me, speaks, it's just a better way for me to market who I am, because I'm more than just a photographer. I'm a guide, I'm a storyteller, and I've been here for, you know, almost 30 years telling these stories. So I've got personal insights. You know, I've got photographs of like a Native hooligan greeting ceremony, Pete Johnson, you know, that happened back in the early 90s. No one's going to come here today and get that shot. You know, and you'll see photographers come here, and they come here from somewhere far away, and they spend a whole week, and they sit right there at 21 Mile Haines Highway. They spend the whole week right there. It's a great spot, and yeah, you can get eagle shots, but part of the story I'm telling is that there's more than eagles. There's more than eagles. There's a whole ecosystem here, and all these different creatures all play a part, and so by having the photography be part of that, I'm able to maybe separate myself from, you know, just another guy selling a shot of a full frame shot in focus of an eagle's face. You know, a lot of people have those.
Those are all the questions I have. Is there anything else that you want to add that you want people to know? I'd also like to include where people can get your book.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. I think one thing I do want to mention is that I do talk in there about the Constantine Mine, the project that is proposed and in the exploration phase upstream. That's not the entire purpose of my book, but it is part of the message. Is that I just want people to aware what is downstream, because when the preserve was created, for a long time there they were creating little preserves and areas, and they were just doing little small areas protecting them, not really considering the areas around them. And so if you protect an area but you don't protect the area upstream, then you effectively haven't really protected that area. And so as this communication starts going out from all sides about what is happening upstream of the Eagle Preserve, I want people to know what is at risk, and decide as a community what level of risk is acceptable. And also I want to get the word out to the national and international community that the Eagle Preserve is something worth saving for the entire world population, for the eagles themselves. So that's a part of the book. It's not the entire point of the book, because I'm telling the story. This is the latest chapter. You know, I go into the Windy Craggy Mine story, which, you know, happened years ago, and what happened there. You know, the Eagle Preserve was part of it, trying to run all these trucks right through the Eagle Preserve. Even recently, the Conley Dam. I didn't even mention that in the book. I thought of it afterwards, but one of the reasons that was Conley Lake was turned down was because they were going to put a road right through that upper section of the Eagle Preserve. So I do give a history of the environmental movement in Haines and some of the different stories that people have their versions of them. Well, you know what? I wrote the book. I'm going to tell the story my way, and I'm interested for additional information. I mean, I was just on the ferry last week, and I sat down with John Schnabel, you know, 96 years old. He's telling me about the meeting where the Eagle Preserve was created, you know, this meeting in 1982. He was there, you know. So now that I've written it, people are sharing with me their version of the story, and everybody feels passionate, and everyone's got, you know, their version, and I'm listening. I'm hoping that another edition comes out, and I can integrate some of the stuff, because it's really a great, unique place in the world. And so, like locals, even I had a friend just said, I just learned something. He said, I thought the Eagle Preserve was only from 19 to 21 miles Haines Highway. The council grounds thought that was the whole Eagle Preserve. Didn't realize that it's 48,000 acres, that it goes way up the. So locals are learning about it. People outside of Haines are learning about it. People all around the world. So I feel really good about that, and I feel strongly that the Eagle Preserve is worth protecting, and I'm going to do everything I can to keep that water pure for generations to come, including the village of Clukwan. You know, I've gotten more connected with them because my daughter's going to the Clukwan school now, and so I'm spending more time, and they're at a tremendous point in their kind of history with this new museum that's going to open up and tourism opening. And so I've actually included in there their position paper on the Constantine Mine, because I'm not their spokesman. You know, I'm not a member of the tribe or the village. So I let them, you know, say it in their own words. And they make a good case against any sort of potential, any sort of risk or exposure upstream. So that is something that I want people to know. That is part of the book. It's not the entire book. And as far as where it's available right now, it's at Babbling Book. I just brought 12 more books over because they sold out of the ones I'd given them. The Shelton Museum has a copy. As copies for sale. I just brought them to Alaska Rods. You can get it at our website, tourhaines.com. You can click right on there. And even Amazon, I got on Amazon now. So if that's easier, whatever's easier. Yeah, people can give me a call if they want. Personally, I'll, you know, give them a book myself, you know. So it shouldn't be hard to get. If you want a book, we can get it to you. I had 3,000 printed, so I am motivated to move some books, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in and speaking with me today. It's been such a pleasure.
It's been great. Yeah, thank you.